Chapter 71. What is it about death that is so intriguing? Ron Tuck looked out at his class. This was one of the themes that Poe wrote about almost endlessly. In last night's story, he used the word house in several different ways. For instance, there is an actual crack in the structure of the house. The word house here can also be used to represent the word family. It was once considered that a family could be identified by the word house, which actually referred to its bloodlines and the branches of his family. On top of that, the house in this story seems to have the attributes of a character in the story. The way that Poe explores all of this and wraps it into a story is the use of an extended metaphor. He turned and wrote on the board. His students took notes. What is an extended metaphor? He watched while his students turned to the back of the book and looked up the meaning. Mark Simon, who was always the first to raise his hand when Ron asked questions, like this, shot his hand into the air. Ron waited. Slowly, two more hands raised, and then a fourth hand went into the air. Ron smiled. Patience and silence were two of the things that he had learned could serve a teacher very well in the classroom. It was learning to trust the power of the class. Then it hit him. The house and the classroom shared a power. When you read this story again tonight, he paused and waited for the reaction. The groan was audible. I want you to pay particular attention to Poe's description of the house and compare it with his description of Roderick Usher. However, in Usher, you will see evidence of the house of Usher, meaning the entirety of his family line. I want you to find examples of this, and also find five vocabulary words that you think will be of use to you. The class wrote down the assignment. Ron was pleased with them, and he showed it. From what I see in this classroom, college-level work is not going to be a problem. I see smart and capable students who are ready to do their study. Back in the teacher's room, Father Tom Arecchio was smoking a cigarette. Ron slid across from him and said, "Tom, I'm getting married." Arecchio exhaled and said, "Congratulations. I was wondering if you were allowed to do an ecumenical service." Because he was not affiliated with a parish, Tom didn't get a lot of call to do weddings and baptisms. They were easy money. Most always went to the parish priests. Sometimes a family member would ask, but they would expect that it would be done for nothing, or at the family discount, as they called it. "Sure, I can pretty much do any fucking thing that you want," said Father Tom. He was fond of cursing, enjoyed the reactions that people had to hearing the word fuck coming from a man in a collar. "Well, here's the thing. I was a convert, and really, I'm not the best Catholic in the world." Arecchio laughed. "No, really, you gotta be shitting me." His receding red hair and freckles led the students to believe that he had a diabolical side to him. He had come to the priesthood late. He was almost 40 years old when he was ordained. But he had been stupid and gone on a diet of grapefruit in order to lose weight for his big day. Something had gone wrong, and now his kidneys had stopped working. Every third day he went for dialysis, and the sessions left him worn out, cold inside, and cranky. He'd had dialysis that morning and was in no mood for bullshit. Celeste is Italian, and would mean a lot to her family to have a priest there. "Sure, why not? Where's the wedding gonna be?" Ron swallowed. He knew this part wasn't going to go over well. The Glen Ridge Congregational Church. You're fucking kidding. That's where my family moved when we left the old neighborhood. You must have fit in well there, Ronnie. It never ceased to surprise Ron that people from Newark always slipped into calling him Ronnie. He hated the name Ronnie, and when he went to college, he made sure that people knew him as Ron. No, not so well.